daughter, Charles Squire, had charge of my room for instruction, and he used to come in once a week. One of the first things he said to me was, so you're Sister Emily. I said, yes, Father. He said, I'm Father Charles Squire. I said, glad to meet you, Father. He said, you're the kid that taught for Gallagher last year. I thought that was a strange place for a priest to talk, but after I got to know Father Guar, I thought, well, that's just one of his idiosyncrasies. You're the kid that taught for Gallagher last year.
Was that Father Gallagher at the
race? Yeah, he's dead now. Father John Gallagher, yes. He's dead now. He was a saint of February, wasn't he? A saint. Well, anyway. Sister Claire came along the day before Thanksgiving, of all times, because youngsters can be mischievous all the time, but they're extremely so when they know they're going to get a free day the next day. Well, those youngsters were the next day. And I said, I said, you see what the children are like? I said, I can't do a thing with them. And she went, one clap, and it was sound. This is it. You could have heard cotton cloth. And then she got to work. She told them what they were supposed to do and so on, and that they were to listen. Well, if I would send a child over to Sister Amy, somebody that had been particularly naughty, Sister Amy would keep the child for a while, maybe give him something to write or something, and send him back to me. And then she said, stop sending children to me. It lessens your own authority, and to tell the truth, there's not much I can do with them. One day I had a boy named William Boyle. I'll never forget him. He was as bad as he could be. And I went down to him, and I said, look here. I said, if you don't stop that, and he said, go on, slap me. He said, you know you're not allowed. And I said, is that so? I said, you take that. And I slapped him hard, right across the face. I said, now take that. And I slapped him again. I said, now go home and tell your parents you got slapped and tell them what for. So he did. Well, that night, both parents came with a great big box of candy. I think it was a 5-pound box of chocolates, to thank me for punishing him. And I said, did he tell you what he did? And they said, yes, he did. And you did perfectly right to punish him. And I am glad you did, the mother said, and the father, too. So, well, anyway, Sister Claire promised me that she'd see what she could do at Christmas time. She didn't say I was going to be moved or transferred, but anyway. Then we had a priest come and give some kind of a criduum for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And he talked about teachers in school and so on, and about if you weren't satisfactory, how you were sometimes sent back to the novitiate or to your community to serve time. Well, one day Father Milady, the pastor, came in my room and he said, how are they today, sister? And I said, well, this morning, Father, I said, they worked pretty well. They were very good. But this afternoon, they're like a pack of wild Indians. Well, I went home and I told the sisters what I said. Well, right away, they said, watch out, watch out. Father Milady came to, I don't know whether it was true or not, but they said Father Milady went to Sister Amy today, and he said, sister, there's a sister over in the portable, and she's comparing my children to Indians. Well, anyway, and short time after that, I got word that I was to be take a nap. So I didn't know where I was going to go, but Mother Mary called me this day, right shortly before Christmas, and she said, "Sister, you are being transferred, and you get your roll book up to date, and you get your report cards all made out, and everything finished, get your trunk packed and everything, and you'd be ready to leave and go to Baden." And I said, "What address should I put on my trunk?" She said, "My Gallipson, of course." So the nuns all teased me. They said, "Well, you're going to the novitiate to do time. You haven't been satisfactory. You're going to do time." So all right, I came to Baden. And Mother Bonaventure, the Lord be good to her, she met me at the door. And she said, "Now, sister, don't unpack anything." She said, "Then your trunk will go on your train ticket. You will be just here overnight. And you will leave tomorrow morning on the 8 o'clock train for Newcastle." Well, it was the 4th of January. I'll never forget it. The snow was knee-deep. I had no idea how to get to Newcastle. I had never been there since my dad died. In fact, yeah, that's the last time I was there, when Pop was buried in Newcastle. All right. I got on the train, and it was a local. It stopped at every double house, and sometimes the houses weren't double. Anyway, we got to Newcastle, and the conductor said, "Newcastle." So I got up, and he said, "Where are you going, lady?" I said, "I'm supposed to get off at Newcastle." He said, "Well, this is Gardner Avenue, Newcastle. You don't want off at Gardner Avenue, do you?" I said, "I don't know, sir, but I'm supposed to go to Newcastle." He said, "Well, just stay on for a while." So we rode for about 5 or 6 minutes longer, and then finally he said, "Newcastle again." And he said, "Now you can get off, lady. This is Beaver Avenue, or Beaver Street, or whatever it was." So I got off, and there, the sister Mary Frances and Sister Leonard were there to meet me, thanks be to goodness. So they took me up to the convent, and Sister Victoria was the superior. Oh, dear me. So that started another episode.
What was Sister Victoria?
Sister Victoria, well, she was real severe, to tell you the truth. We had plenty to eat, I'll say that, because she thought if you didn't eat, you couldn't work. And she liked to eat herself, and she provided a very good table. But one of the first things she said to me was, "Now, I'll let you have charge of our cell. I'll let you." Well, that meant clean herself from top to bottom every week. I also had charge of the walks and porches. Now, there were 5 porches. That was the old convent, you know. And by the way, that convent used to belong to the O'Donnell family, which was my dad's mother's family. My dad's mother used to play in that. It was a double house, and they sold it to the parish, and then the priest lived in one half and the nuns lived in the other half. All right, when I was there, that was cut through so that you could go from one half to the other. But the big double porch was still there, and all the other 5 porches, and the walks were still there, of course. Well, anyhow, I was supposed to keep the walks clean, and it was just about impossible because the snow kept snowing and snowing. And as fast as you'd clean the walks and the porches, one porch had no roof over it, and the snow would just come down. Well, anyway, my sister Victoria said to me one day, "Look at the condition of those walks. Look at that porch. It's easy to see you're no good. You lasted 1 year on your first mission and a half a year on your second. Now you come here to us. Well, if you don't do better, I'll take you to Baden the first Friday." And da 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 da. So, well, I went to bed crying myself to sleep, and I thought, am I good enough to stay in the convent, or what should I do? What should I do? So Sister Baptist, our mistress, came up, and I told her how things were. She said, well, it won't be long until the school ended. Pretty soon you'll have spring, and then you'll have the end of school. And just persevere, just to pray and persevere and all that sort of thing. So another thing, Father O'Shea used to come over and play cards at night, and he'd be up till all hours, because the novices would study over in the other side of the house in a special place. There was Sister Leonard and Mary Frances and Mary Cecil and myself. Yeah. And you wouldn't go over and interrupt their card game to ask permission to go to bed or anything like that. You know, you just sat there. All right.
The best sisters were the ones who played cards.
Yeah, with Father O'Shea. Oh, yes, we were strictly novices. Oh, gracious. And if Father O'Shea wanted to take the sisters out for a ride on Sunday, which he did very often, the novices had to stay at home. He'd take them to real nice rides. But anyway, those were the days. Then we slept in Rag Row. That's another story.
Yeah, tell us about
Rag Row. Rag
Row.
Oh,
great. Door instead of doors. Doorway.
We had no doors. We had red curtains. We had portieres. And, of course, no heat. You'd go to bed at night, and there was one bathroom at the end of the hall. But you had a bowl and pitcher in your room and a slop bucket. But in the morning, the water would be frozen into ice in your pitcher. You couldn't use it. If you'd go out in the bathroom, you'd wait in line because everybody on that floor used to get in one bathroom. All right. That was Rag Row.
That was supposed to be
Yeah.
Did you have any experience
while you were
there? Well, hearing stories.
Yeah, but it was Father O'Shea was very proud of his convent. He said we had 44 light, airy, vibrating rooms. They were vibrating, I'll tell you. I would be in bed at night, and a freight would go by, and it would turn the light on. I put my umbrella at the head of my bed, and when the freight would go by and the light would turn on, I'd knock the umbrella against the wall and the light would go off. The next freight that would pass, the light would go on again. You'd keep up that way all the time. Yes, that was something. Then there was a cat there named Tiddly, and I had charge of Tiddly, because right before I came there, Tiddly, for some reason or other, managed to get upstairs and had her five kittens on one of the beds. Can you picture that? So when I went there, I was told that Tiddly was to be kept in the cellar, and I was to keep her off the clothes baskets. Well, how could you do that? You had the clothes baskets in the cellar, and if Tiddly wanted to get on them, she'd get on them. Well, anyhow, Tiddly had another family of kittens on Easter Sunday morning, and Sister Mary Cecil was down in the cellar, and she witnessed the whole business. The whole business. Well, the following year, we got a new superior. Sister Victoria didn't like it there. There was not enough sale for her music compositions. So the following year, we had another superior that was just the opposite of Sister Victoria. And we didn't have enough to eat, and that's for sure. There would be five cardboard eggs cut in half for the 10 of us. There would be six potato cakes for the 10 of us. And if the sisters at the top of the table, like Sister Mary Pius and Sister Ethelbreda and Sister Sylvester and the ones that sat up at the head, if they would take their whole egg, which they were perfectly entitled to, or if they took a whole potato cake, there'd be nothing for us novices to put to the table, so we filled up on pyro corn syrup and bread. Needless to say, our faces broke out in pimples and so on, but those were the days. So you put up with a whole lot of stuff. A whole lot of stuff. No.
Why didn't you get a Terry like New Temple?
Because her music, there wasn't enough sale for her music composition. And she wanted to be transferred to Pittsburgh, so she was the following year. She was sent to St. Catharines in Beachview. So,
well, did she sell them herself?
I guess so. Or, for one thing, she had a priest, Father, he's dead now. I forget his name. But anyway, he was from Dunbar or someplace, and he used to help her to sell her material. But she composed that hymn to St. Joseph, you know, Dear St. Joseph, who I mean. She composed that, and she also composed him.
In the Name of the Lowly.
Yes. And then, Jesus, Lord, I love thee with my whole heart. We used to teach that to kids first, and she composed that. A number of songs that she composed. Well, anyway, she was at Beachview for a number of years, and then she went to St. Teresa's. And I lived with her again when I was sent to St. Teresa's, years and years later. And then I lived with her again in Johnstown, St. John's Johnstown. She was a subject there, and gracious. That was where she fell and broke her hip. And we thought she'd never, never walk again. But she did. The doctor told us she would never walk again. She had a terrible bad break. But she got better, she walked again.
Did she lie there in Johnstown?
Apparently, yeah. But then, I reminded her one time I shouldn't have done it. It was nasty of me. But she was then a subject, and I told her one time, I said, did she remember about Newcastle? And I said, oh, how severe you were. She said, yes, because I was severe, because I like to cry out the novices. I like to see what they were made out of. And I said, well, sister, of course I was a bold person to say it, but this time I was possessed a long time. I said, you know, little children take their toys apart to see what they're made out of, but they never get them together again. I said, that's the word about that. I don't know what she thought about that, but anyhow, that was the truth.
Well, how long did you stay there?
I was there the following year under this other superior. Yeah. And then after that, I went to Ambridge, and I was in the old convent in Ambridge, and there was one bathroom for the whole crowd of us. There were eight of us there, and then Sister Austin was superior. I loved her, and then Sister Hugh Frazier was there. She was a senior sister. And Mother Ann Rancher. And Sister Annunciata. And Sister
Mary Catherine.
No. Sister Mary Richard came, and Sister Canise. Kenneth McGuff, but they lived in Baden, and they came every day on the train. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Mother Benigna came. On Tuesday she'd come with Sister Anna Marie, and on Thursday she'd come with Sister Kevin, and they taught music all day.
Why didn't Sister Benigna let her move there?
there wasn't enough room. We didn't have a chapel or anything. It was just a little brick, red brick house. At nighttime, we took all the dishes off the dining room table and stacked them up, and we used that for a study community room to make your lesson plans and do your studying on. And then after you were through, you'd have to set the table for breakfast. That was another job. We had no cook, and finally, before the end of the year, we got Marie Burke, who was a student Baptist sister. She came, she cooked, she was very good. And then, Sister Clementine was there, and Sister, Basil, yeah. And they used to take turns cooking, and but there was a jolly spirit there. Sister Evangelista and I slept way up in the attic. You couldn't stand up straight, you bumped your head against the, it was awful. And it was cold as anything in the wintertime. And if I get up maybe at 5 o'clock and light the little gas stove, then Sister Evangelista would complain of the headache because the gas fumes, you know. So if you'd light the gas stove and open the window a little crack, the cold would come in. There was no use having the gas stove on. And if you had to get up at night and go to the bathroom, you had to get down and pass through the cell where Sister Emerentia and Annunciata and Clementine all slept in that cell. Well, you were sure to bump somebody's bed. You couldn't help it. So those were the days. Then Father Brady used to come over every Monday night, and we each had a certain night to take a bath. You just got one bath a week. And he would always come on Monday night. And he'd stay quite a while. But you had to have your bath water in the tub before he'd come, so he wouldn't hit it. Oh, those were the days. And when we would say community prayers, or on Sunday's office, we'd sit in this parlor facing a big picture of St. Joseph above the mantel, and that was the way it, that was the only chapel or anything you had. It was really something. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Is it hard, even the community, little things change in the community, not church things, but just
Mm-hmm. Well, from Ambridge, I was encouraged because at the end of Newcastle, I was ready to give up and despair. I thought things are never going to get better. I don't know whether I want to renew God or whether I don't. Well, I prayed a whole lot and I thought a whole lot. And I just said, well, I might as well try it. So, after Ambridge, I was encouraged because, like I say, we had a happy, jolly house. Everybody was trying to, because we all had the same things to put up with. And May the 19th, we got a day off from school to move into the new convent. Father Brady was the pastor. Before I went there, there was Father Martin, and he always wanted to build this new convent, but he never had a chance. But anyway, Father Brady had it. And we moved in the 19th of May. The kids from the 8th grade helped us move. And that's the present convent down in Andrews. All right. Then we came here, and we made vows in the summertime. And then I talked to Mother Bonaventure. She was wonderful. And I was encouraged to make final vows, which I did. And then I was sent up to New Brighton. And she was sending me with Sister Bernadette, who was a saint. And Sister Mary Catherine, Sister Winifred was a cook. That was a clear link with the book. Mary Lachlan taught music. And she also had fifth and sixth grade. Mary Catherine had third and fourth. I had first and second. Bernadette had seventh and eighth. That was our mission. And Father Maloney was wonderful. He was the most marvelous priest. I was up there for 3 years. I had Sister Bernadette for two and Sister Clement for the last year. Sister Clement was awful. Clement was terrible. And anything that we did under Sister Bernadette, she did the opposite. She asked me, because I was the only one that returned to the mission from the year before. Everybody else had moved out. Sister Henrietta was the new music teacher. I still had first and second grade. Sister Frances, Sissy was sent there. She had third and fourth. And then Henrietta had fifth and sixth. And Clement had seventh and eighth. Oh, dear me, she was awful. She asked me where they used to deal. And when I tell her, she said, well, we'll never go there again. And then I told her, she wanted to know what other store was there, and I told her Pullman's. All right, we go to Pullman's. Or there was a store way up at the top of the hill, you know, which was up there. But we wouldn't go to the store where we had gone before. And they always gave us things for cheaper. And when they were going to have something extra special, they'd call up just and say, we're having this and that today. Would you like to have some? And we'd go down. Bernadette always took me shopping with her every Saturday. And then, well, anyhow, from New Brighton, that was hard too because I didn't have enough desks for the pupils. And there was a man named Mr. Shields. He was a janitor. And he and his family lived in the rectory. Well, anyway, he got me somehow a stand table and another table, something like this, for the youngsters that didn't have desks to sit at. And that helped that. Anyway,